and let's sit here and watch this. It's going to be fucking amazing.
Speaking of fucking amazing, comes naturally. We
Joe,
are...
Joe, sorry, jumped the gun on there.
And I am Cody. That blank space you heard or didn't hear, or... Didn't hear?
No, you heard. You heard blank space.
Yeah, blank space. That's Mike's chair. It'd be empty. He's not here today. But fuck that guy. We don't care. We got shit to talk about, and one of them he wouldn't be able to talk about. So it doesn't matter.
So much shit to talk about.
So much shit to talk about.
We might not even get to all the shit to talk about.
We may not. We may not get to all the shit we want to talk about.
Or we might get to all the shit we talk about and go over like 2 hours, like Mike hates. I hate that dude though. So
let's do that. Anything to make Mike angry. You won't like me when I'm angry. Eh, I won't see you when you're angry.
Love you, 3000.
Dick. So, Joe, what are you talking about today? What's the first thing we're talking about today?
The first thing that I think we're going to talk about is the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer.
If you want.
Was that what we're going to talk about?
We can if you want.
Oh, okay. We're not going
to
talk about that.
I didn't want to, but... Oh, it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad.
We won't talk about it. It's awful. It's way awful.
It's worse than I ever imagined it could be.
Right? The weird hair that they gave him, too.
That is the one thing. And everyone's like, yeah, but they give Pikachu fur. I was like, yeah, but his fur looks normal and Sonic's looks all weird.
Like, it's hard to explain. The teeth, for some reason, look really weird on him.
Yeah, which is funny. I was like, did he have teeth?
He does.
And then I looked at the car. I was like, no, he does have teeth. They're just not human teeth.
Yeah. They're just solid, like literally a solid tooth.
Yeah.
Going around. And here, they're like individual, like
real teeth.
Like you would go to the dentist, and if you ever had a weird dentist, like I didn't, but I've seen pictures of it, like the ones with the stuffed animals that had the teeth in them.
Yeah.
That's literally how it looked. Super fucking awful.
And for some reason, he has lightning.
And for some reason, even his fur or hair or whatever you want to call it that flakes off, like holds on to lightning, like the speed force, like you said earlier.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I don't understand this at all.
Don't understand it. It looks awful. Not gonna see it. But you know, it didn't look awful.
Endgame.
Yes.
Avengers Endgame has come out. Advance warning. Joe's gonna ruin a lot for you. He's gonna spoil a bunch of stuff. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut
bullshit.
When it comes to spoilers.
Bullshit. I mean, not total bullshit.
There's gonna be spoilers.
I don't think you could explain this movie,
no,
or even say what you liked or disliked about this movie without giving away some spoilers.
No, because there's the stuff that I do like, and because we don't have Mike, we're gonna increase our numbers, not download numbers. Maybe once people start hearing he's not on it, but we're gonna increase the numbers of stuff we liked because we don't have to worry about him chiming in, or not chiming in compared to a couple weeks ago. Anyhow, so we're going to talk and spoil all things Avengers Endgame. So if you haven't seen it or if you haven't already been spoiled,
then stop.
Stop now. Stop. Come back later. Yep. Or if you're one of those weird people who doesn't care about spoilers and wants to hear all the secret stuff,
then do it. Keep listening.
Keep on. You know what I mean? Anyhow, I'm pretty sure I don't have to explain what this movie is. But I mean, we'll go over everything.
Yeah, do it.
So Avengers Endgame is the sequel, once known as Infinity War Part 2, before we found out Infinity War was not called Part 1.
Right.
And many things speculated about what it could be called. A lot of people said Avengers Assemble, which is clever in a way because they were torn apart, twice in a row. But, anyways, they call it Avengers Endgame because, well, it's the end of the game for...
Makes sense.
That bulk of story. The Infinity Saga, as many people have called it, because literally the entire 22 movies so far have all been dealing with the world around these Infinity Stones. Not directly with some of them, but in the same world.
Yeah.
So we'll go over, real quick, we'll go over, you want to go over the movie first? You want to go over what we didn't like? And
go over the movie first.
Okay. So this movie starts off mere minutes, hours, really, after the events of Infinity War, the bulk of the movie. first off, it starts off with one of the most depressing scenes, and just a repetitive gut punch that was ending, which was the ending of Infinity War, which is end Ant-Man versus Ant-Man and Wasp, because that ended the same way, and that is with the dusting of some characters. So much like the in Infinity War, we didn't see. We heard what was going on with Ant-Man, and we heard what was going on with Clint Barton, a.k.a. Hawkeye. We didn't see them until Ant-Man and Wasp. You see he was under house arrest, and that fun stuff goes through. And if you don't know what happens in that one, during the post-credit scene, he goes in the quantum realm, and Janet Van Dyne, Hank Pym, and what is her name?
Hope.
Hope Van Dyne.
Yeah.
It was like Hope is the name. They all get dusted while he's stuck in the quantum realm. The beginning of Endgame, we get to see Hawkeye having a picnic on his ranch with his family, his wife, his two sons, and his daughter. He's teaching his daughter, played oddly enough by Anthony Russo's daughter.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he's teaching her how to use the bow and arrow. She gets a bullseye. He says, "Oh, look at you, little Hawkeye." And then he tells her to go get the arrow. He's waiting. He turns. She's gone. And then he's like, "Honey?" He's like, "Violet." I think that's what her name was. And then he's like, he looks around, and his wife and his two sons are gone. But you and I know what it is, because we can see little bits of motes of dust falling from where they were. And he's running around panicking, have no idea what it is. And then, boom. That's how we start our movie.
Yeah, awful.
Like, Jesus. All right, guys. I mean, bad enough you left us with the fucking kick in the nuts you did at the end of Infinity War, and then that little bit at the end of Ant-Man and Wasp. But what do? Start your movie the same fucking way.
Well, and the worst part is that you knew there were rumors going into this that they were going to show how some of the people that you didn't see get dusted in the Infinity War get dusted.
Yes.
But this is the only...
This is the only one.
Only one.
Yep.
That they show.
We know others have happened, clearly. Right. But these are the only ones that directly affect an Avenger... directly affect an Avenger, as we know. Because everything else... all the other major players in the game were already experiencing part of it in the end of Infinity War. So this was... The only member left out of the group was... Hawkeye, so this was his reintroduction to the movie and the universe that we're in a fucking terrible, terrible way.
Yeah.
So then it starts off with, it goes right to Tony and Nebula on the Benatar, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. They have been in space for 23 days?
Something like that.
Right? I think it's 23 days. Limited water and food and air. Limited fuel. They basically found a way to stretch the fuel cells out to be able to point themselves towards Earth, or what they hope is going to be the direction of Earth, because right. They're kind of far away.
They're just floating in a void.
Yeah, like right now. they don't have enough energy to make a jump because of the depleted cells. So they're adrift in space. A lot of people complain, like, it looks like they stopped. I'm like, first off, that's a vastness of space, and we don't know how fast they're moving, and we don't know...
Probably we're still moving pretty fast, yeah. But yeah, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, you're not going to get very far that quickly. Anyhow, so Tony does that dramatic scene from the trailer where he turns on the helmet to record a message to Pepper, which really is kind of just his coping mechanism, because there's essentially no way, really, she's ever going to get a hold of this recording. Yeah. Because who's going to find this ship that's remotely going to Earth, you know? Not going to find it and go, oh, this message is for someone from Earth. Let's go deliver it. Right. Most likely the Benatar is going to get taken and ravaged, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. So you go through that. He explains what's happened. He catches you up on the last 23th, I think, days as it was. And explaining the next day or so, they will run out of oxygen. They ran out of water and they ran out of food. The next double days, they'll run out of oxygen. And when he finally goes to sleep for the last time, he says that he'll be, just like always, he'll be thinking of Pepper. It's a cool way of doing it, because he basically falls asleep in the fetal position around the helmet. And then Nebula, who clearly doesn't have the same mortal issues that he does, couldn't probably survive without water and food and probably air for quite a bit of time.
They made a point of Tony offering her food mm-hmm. at one point, and she turns it down, like, you know, no, you need this yeah. more. Plus, they've made mention of the fact that she's replaced a lot of her body
yeah.
with robotic parts in the past. So
yeah, so she's probably not so
survived. Yeah,
yeah. So which is fine, except for the fact she's on a ship that's a derelict still ship that's not going anywhere. Derelict, so like yeah. she's just gonna sit there, and eventually probably run like the batteries and everything's gonna run in the system down. So, so he as he falls asleep, she picks him up and she puts him in one of the chairs. And then that's when we get, right away, which I didn't expect to happen, they get rescued.
Yeah.
A light is, they do a fun thing where they show his view, of course he's asleep, outside the cockpit window to the starry void, and you see a glint, a little, one of the stars kind of shine, and it goes back to a hold on his face where light starts to grow and fill the screen in his face, and he then covers his eyes, looks up, sees something, and ends up being Captain Marvel out in space. And at one point I was like, well, how did she just happen to find them in space? Then you find out that in the last few weeks, because if you saw Captain Marvel, the end of Captain Marvel has a scene which is not replayed in this movie.
Yeah.
It is a direct link to this movie. It is them looking at Nick Fury's pager because it suddenly goes off. Jesus Christ. now my iPad's doing it. That's fantastic. What did I say? I said Fury. It's got to be what it
yeah,
was.
It's probably
Nick Fury. Whatever. She just wants to talk to me, apparently. She started to write out what I was saying.
Nice.
Anyways, so they're investigating Nick's pager, finding out where the signal's going. When all of a sudden it shuts off and they're like, get it back on, like, do whatever you have to, we have to trace the signal. And then Captain Marvel shows up.
Yeah.
So you find out she's actually been searching for survivors, Tony being the one of them, because they don't know. And so she knows where to look, just not exactly where to look. So eventually she finds the ship, probably scanning for signals and stuff, catches a remote signals, probably, you know, dying, whatever. And then one of the coolest scenes in the beginning is her literally coming in with the ship and landing it.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I was like, I mean, how else was she going to get it there? So she just carried it, you know. And then Pepper's there and Cap is there. Rhodey. Natasha. Banner was inside.
But what's his name?
Rocket was there.
Yeah, Rocket was there.
Is it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They greet Tony. He is super and like just skinny and malnourished, which is it was terrible to look at. And so they bring him inside. They hook him up to an IV. They have a conversation. He goes, "This is useless. We've lost so much. There's nothing we can do. We can't beat him." Starts blaming Cap for a lot of stuff, which definitely he was at fault for. Obviously not all of it, because Tony doesn't know how hard Cap fought, but it doesn't matter because, well,
yeah.
He got the stones, obviously. And so they have a big argument. Tony decides he's, you know, just going to pass out. So they have him in a hospital and they have him in one of the medical beds. They are discussing things. Rocket tells him, along the help of Nebula, that Nebula has an idea of where Thanos would be going after the snap. And then so she tells him, and then Rocket monitors the planet, and he notices that there was an energy surge that was very reminiscent of the energy surge when he made this first snap, meaning that Thanos most likely is there and has used the gauntlet again.
Right.
And we, of course, don't know why he has used said gauntlet again. But he has. So they mount an offensive. They go get Thor, Hulk. No, Hulk is later.
Hulk is later.
Hulk is later.
It was Thor, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Natasha, and
Hawkeye, right? Was Hawkeye at that point? Did they go? No,
because Hawkeye's afterwards. Not until later.
That's, yeah, yeah, with, that's right.
After he's become Ronin.
Yeah. So yeah, that's his Cap. So Captain America, Captain Marvel, Rhodey, Rocket. Rhodey.
Yeah.
Natasha. So Black Widow. I feel like there's more than five of them.
No, there were only a handful of them.
I guess it was at that point, right? Yeah. And so they go to this planet. Captain Marvel goes and scouts it, says there's no satellites, there's no weapons, there's no army, nothing. They go down there. We see them starting to go down there. Cut to Thanos walking through his garden, or I say garden, but farm, essentially. And you can see something's wrong. Mm-hmm. His body's held differently. His legs is dead. His arm is bound up to his side, and you see that he is worse for wear. He has definitely damaged his body. We assume from using the Infinity Gauntlet at least once, maybe the second time. The gauntlet is still on his left hand, but it is badly damaged and is definitely crippling his hands. He is looking about, he sees something, or hears something, and all of a sudden he gets punched in the face by a fiery fist of Captain Marvel that drives, she crashes in through the wall of his little shitty house, which you think he would have had a better house than that, but whatever.
You know, life.
You know, whatever. And the rest of Avengers show up, they're holding him, Thor comes bashing in, cuts off his arm holding the gauntlet, and then they realize the gauntlet's empty. It has no stones on it. He asks them what happened. We know you just used them a couple days ago. He says, I used the stones to get rid of the stones. And instantly everybody's like, no way.
They have to be hidden here somewhere.
Yeah. And so before they can get any, and so Nebula says, no, I know my father. He's not lying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, thank you, daughter. And right then Thor comes out of nowhere and chops his head off. And I was like, this seems like an odd turn of events.
Yeah, we're like 15 minutes in the movie. Are we in a roll credits right now?
Like we lied to about the 3-hour runtime?
Yeah.
We're 3 hours and 58 seconds runtime? Or is something else afoot here?
Yeah.
So everything seems dire, and then it cuts.
Five,
to 5 years later.
I love how it was five years
later. And that's when you see the shot of the coast of New York dusk, I should say. It's coming into nighttime. It's not dark yet, not fully. Then it cuts over to Ellis Island, right? Is where the Statue of Liberty is at.
Yeah, Ellis Island, where Statue of Liberty is at.
You see all the ships
that are around it.
That are around there. The city is essentially darkened. There's no bright lights going on.
Yeah.
They show the stadium, and it's got all these cars in the parking lot, and it's everything's just
empty. Just empty. Trash everywhere.
And it cuts into a support group run by Cap of survivors who are sitting around talking about how to move forward with their lives. This is where we get our first cameos of anybody. The first one is a gentleman talking about how he went on a date for the first time since everything happened. And he mentions that him and his date were not doing so well. And then his date started crying. And then someone's like, what about you? He's like, well, I waited until dessert.
Which I thought was funny.
Which is really funny. The gentleman talking is actually one of the cameos in that scene, which is Anthony Russo, one of the directors of Captain America, Winter Soldier, Captain America, Civil War, Infinity War, and, of course, Endgame. And he's had cameos in those other movies. And then the other cameo in this one, you see a gentleman with a goatee and a bald head. His name is Jim Starlin. He is the creator of Thanos, Gamora, Drax, a couple other people, and he's also the original writer of the Infinity War comic book. So that was a cool little cameo from him. Cap says to him, hey, you know, we have to find a way to move on. Our lives aren't over. We have to live for others, and all this other stuff, and which is a shitty way of finding out that Cap is not taking his own advice, which is pretty crazy. He goes through that, and then he ends up going back to headquarters, talking to Natasha, who is running ops with Rhodey, Rocket, Okoye, and Captain Marvel over the hologram screens.
Yeah, but not Gamora. Nebula was there as well.
No. Nebula wasn't there.
I thought it was Rocket and somebody else.
I don't think so. It was just Rocket on the screen, wasn't it?
Was it just Rocket on the screen?
I think so.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they're all searching, basically trying to find different survivors, but also different things, and trying to essentially find a way to reverse what's going on after these 5 years have gone by. So she goes on, and there, Rhodey then tells her about a sighting in, because he's in South America, where a whole cartel has been slaughtered and left in this house, and it seems to be the work of Clint Barton.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
Of Hawkeye. And this is not the first time they found this. Several times have they found this, and they're trying to track his whereabouts to try to track him down. Then we jump to Cap comes and talks to her about things. That's when you find out he's nearly not living up to his thing he's talking about, the support group, about moving on, because none of them are, especially Natasha, who is literally working with the others to try to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Then we jump to the next cameo, which is Ken Jeong of Community fame, as well as Dr. Ken fame. He's the security guard at a self-storage unit in San Francisco, where then we cut inside, where the camera's panning across following a rat climbing into a familiar looking brown and yellow van.
Mm-hmm.
He just happens to crawl across some controls, buttons. Kicks on a little thing in the back of the van, and an ever expanding man gets shit out of the back of the van into the storage unit, and it is our friend Scott Lang, yep. The Ant-Man. He is thoroughly confused, because 5 hours ago to him, he was in the quantum realm, and he left from the top of a parking structure with Hope, Hank, and Janet all waiting for him, but he lost contact with them, thinking something went wrong. He finally gets to come out to find that he's in the storage unit. Well, then he boxes up all of his stuff, because it can literally fit in a box, because mm-hmm. he can shrink it down. Is wandering the just completely empty streets, stumbles upon is in a neighborhood. There's a pole just covered completely in missing flyers that are super old. He wanders into a cemetery with thousands of these obelisk monuments.
Yeah, it was just like a memorial that were just on the top of each monument. It said vanished, and it would just give your name. It's much more like the
9/11.
The 9/11 or
Vietnam War one.
What I was thinking of.
And so he goes there, and he's like, "Oh shit, I don't know what's happening." So he starts looking at names. He's looking for his daughter's name, which he does not see, but then he sees his own name.
Yeah,
and he's like, "This can't be happening." So then he goes and he rushes to his the house that was owned by his ex-wife and where his daughter was living. He knocks on the door, thinking the worst, and then a young lady, much older than his daughter, about 5 years older than his daughter, answers the door and recognizes him, and he realizes that's his daughter, but older. She briefly explains to him what's going on, and at this point, he doesn't know what else to happen. So he then goes back to headquarters, where the Avengers headquarters, where Cap and Black Widow are talking. That's when you see the footage of him at the front gate, and then Cap says, "When was this recorded?" And she says, "That's the front gate." And so they let him in. He explains what happened, and they're like, "Yeah, but whatever." He's like, "No, you don't understand. Time works differently in the quantum realm. 5 years have passed here, but to me it's only been 5 hours. And then so that way he says, "What if we could somehow make this work where we could navigate the quantum realm and come out at a certain time to fix this. So then they go to the smartest person they know, Tony Stark. Well, Tony Stark is now living a life with his wife, Pepper Potts, in a cabin on a lake, and you find out they have a daughter who's roughly 5 years old.
Yep.
So either Pepper was pregnant or got pregnant very shortly after. So you get a poignant moment of her where she's playing with a helmet, and you find out that Tony is building a suit for their for her birthday or anniversary?
Birthday.
I think it's birthday. And then he knows that Pepper never, he's like, mommy never likes anything I get her.
Never wears anything.
Yeah, never. Yeah, give her. Yeah. So they go inside, and that's when the car rolls up with Cap, Black Widow, and Scott. They're talking about time travel. He says it's impossible. But Scott's like, this and that. And so they're like, he's like, I'm done. I'm out. I've got too much to lose now that I have everything I have, luckily. So they leave, and they're like, well, I guess we'll have to go to the only other person we know that is just as smart. And then we get introduced to another character coming back 5 years later, but is drastically different. And that is, we didn't go over the whole Thor thing yet, but it doesn't really matter. We haven't really got there just yet.
No.
But we'll get there in a second. And it is known as Professor Hulk. And Professor Hulk is a balance of both Banner and Hulk. So he's smart and has the articulation of Banner, but has the physicality and size and green skin of Hulk. So he looks very much more like Mark Ruffalo than Hulk does, because Hulk has very similar features, but is over very monsterized past that. But he has graying hair. You can see he has stubble.
Mm-hmm.
But he fully talks like Banner does, but he has the physical size.
Which, by the way, was a fantastic scene.
Yes. With
the little kids running up, and they're getting like,
a selfie, yeah.
Can we get a selfie with you? And then
Scott.
Yeah, Scott's like, you want one with me? And they're like, who are you?
He's like, I'm Ant-Man.
They're like, who?
He's like,
they're like, no, we really don't. And there's a whole scene where they're like, you know what, just take the phone. I don't want a picture with you guys anyway.
Yeah.
And then the kids run off, and Professor Hulk is just like, dab.
Dabs. It made me sick to my stomach.
But it was so funny.
Yeah, so then they explain to him what's going on. He's like, that's not my field of research, but fuck it, we'll give it a try. So they cut to a, not really a montage, but essentially them trying to be getting ready, and they're going to test it with the van. They choose Ant-Man, obviously, because he has the suit, to then try to navigate time. So they're going to send him back a week and bring him back. Well, calculation's a little bit off. Mm-hmm. He comes back as a younger version of him.
Yeah.
They send him back out. He comes back as a...
even younger
version. Even a baby version of him.
Yeah.
Then they send him back in. He comes out as an old man version of him. And then they come back. They do it again. And he comes back as regular him. And has a really funny moment about pooping his pants.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know if it was really young me or old me or me, but someone pooped in my pants. Which is a very Scott thing to do. So then we cut back to Tony. And Tony is having a moment with his daughter. He's putting her to bed. She tells him that she loves him 3,000,
mm-hmm.
which he loves to hear. Goes to Pepper and says, hey, I just want you to know, I'm loved 3,000. And if I'm mistaken, you were only in 600, 900 range. So I'm winning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what Tony does. Then he talks to Pepper a little bit. Then he goes. Well, first, I guess I skipped over a part. He goes. You see him working on something. You figure out that he's working on the time travel thing. His daughter shows up. They go to freezer pop a popsicle. He puts her to bed. That's the I love you 3,000 part. He goes and nonchalantly tells Pepper, I figured it out. She's like, figured what out? It's like time travel. And she's like, like what now? And he's like, well,
I can just go throw it in the lake right now. And we can just keep leaving out our lives right as we are.
Yep. And she says to him, you know, that'll never go. Like you can't put it away. And so he agrees. Then he drives to Avengers headquarters, or what's left of it, because you can't really have an Avengers headquarters with two people. Well, at that point, it's five people. Yeah. No, Rocket and Nebula are still gone. Because they're about to show back up. So then they, he says, he tells them I figured it out, and then they build a crew. They're gonna, we need more people. So then that's when we get to go after Thor, which is hilarious because they go to New Asgard in Norway. It's a small fishing village that the survivors of not only the massacre by Thanos, but anybody who then got snapped after that,
yeah,
whoever's left is going to be living here. They run into... So Hulk and Rocket...
Are the ones that
go get him. Because they're the two that have the relationship with him more than, well, anybody else.
Them, yeah.
Because there's someone else that has to go after somebody else. They run into Valkyrie, who is working in this small town, and they're like, is he here? And he's like, well, yeah, he's got to come in for supplies. And she points over to a bunch of what looks to be empty kegs.
Yeah, beer cans.
And then so they go to it, and she's like, she's not going to want to see you. They go there, they come in, and then we get introduced to Fat Thor.
Oh, my God, it's so glorious.
He's in a robe with a shitty-looking T-shirt, ratty pants, sandals. He has a big, long hair and a big, long beard and a pot belly.
Yeah, that was so awesome.
And you realize that he has not taken the loss of any of it very well.
No, not at all.
And he has let himself go.
Yeah.
And he's living with Korg and Meek, right? Is the bug guy's name?
That sounds right.
They are there, and they end up playing Fortnite.
Jesus Christ.
Which is hilarious. Korg gets bullied, is being cyberbullied, so Thor threatens the kid. They tell him what's going on. He is definitely reluctant of going.
Yeah, he's like, nope.
Yep, Professor Hulk says the name Thanos, and everyone gets really quiet, and Thor threatens him.
Around here.
Yep, and he threatens him, and then, of course, Hulk pulls his hand off and says, listen, I know what you're going through. He says, you know what I'm going through? And the Rocket says, hey, it's time to get on the ship. He goes, I'm not going with you. He's like, we got beer on the ship. And he goes, what kind of beer? And then they're off. Then we jump to Tokyo, where a Quinjet is coming through the clouds to lit up Tokyo. And then we see people running around, shooting guns, getting myrtleized by somebody. A shadowy figure goes into a building, starts chasing people, throwing people out windows, killing people. Gunshots this way, gunshots this way. People flying through more windows. A guy comes running out, and a cloaked figure comes after him with a sword. They get a sword fight. Fucks this dude up.
Seriously.
Bunch of slices to the gut. The guy's basically trying to buy him off. Eventually gets him in the throat. He's holding his throat on his knees, begging for his life, bleeding profusely, which you see, which is crazy.
Right.
And then you see him standing there, and you hear Natasha say, hey. He pulls the mask off, and you realize it's Hawkeye, Clint Barton, taking up. He never actually calls himself Ronin. No one ever calls him Ronin, but it is a very Ronin-like costume, which is another persona he takes in the comic books. And you basically put two and two together. He is the guy who's been killing all these bad people because he believes that they are lucky that they didn't get snapped, but they're still doing bad things.
Yeah.
And so he's brought upon himself to murder a ton of people.
Because he didn't believe they deserved to survive the snap.
Exactly. So she tells him what's going on. He then goes with them. They go. We do another montage of building and testing, and there's new suits. There's a really funny thing when Scott is sitting on a bench getting ready to eat tacos. Rhodey lands. Then the Benatar comes in for a landing, of course, blowing everything off away. His taco is blown away. Rocket and Nebula come off the ship, and he's just like, what am I going to do? Professor Hulk walks out holding with a handful of tacos and gives him two, and then walks on his way.
Yeah.
Really, just no reason to have that in there, but it's just a fun moment.
Well, that was the first time that Scott has seen Nebula and Rocket.
Oh yeah, sure. Oh yeah.
And what was it? Nebula comes walking out, and then radios back to Rocket. Watch out! There's an idiot near the landing site. Yep.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Hey, you know." So then it goes in saying, "Hey, we need to test this." who's gonna go, like, and then instantly Hawkeye's like,
well, Scott was gonna do it first. He's all suited up, and then as he's talking things through, and they have the no, they don't have the time travel thing yet, but as he's talking things through, he finally is just like, I'm not the one that should be doing this.
Yeah.
And that's when Barton chimes in and says that he'll do it. So they do a quick little swap there. Barton's in the suit. And then they start having the time travel discussion of all the different movies, which I thought was fucking hilarious. In which case, Scott mentions Hot Tub Time Machine, which is a movie that he was in, actually.
And then they talk about Back to the Future and all these things. And, like, don't change the past. So they send him back to one of the most devastating possible. His farm with his family is still there.
Yep.
And as he goes in the house, he picks up a baseball glove, goes in the house, realizes his family's here, yells his daughter's name, and then he gets returned.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes back, he's distraught, but he's hopeful all of a sudden because he has the glove. He was truly there. He went back in time. He brought something forward, meaning that they could do it. You can bring something from the past into the present, and it works. So then they decide, they build a battle plan. They look through time, where they try to minimize how many times they can jump because they only have so many PIM particles to use.
They only have one per person. They have one ability to jump in and one ability to jump back. That's it.
So it's a round trip, but a one-time round trip. So they form teams, and they choose which time frames are going to be easily accessible for the most stones. Well, they figure the events of the attack on New York and the events that happened in 2012 to the Avengers that took place in the Avengers movie, there's at least three stones they know of.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Tesseract, which is the space stone. You have the Mind Stone, which is in Loki's Pokey Stick. And you have the Time Stone, which is, they think, with Doctor Strange at the Sanctum Sanctorum, Sanctum, doesn't matter. Can't think of the name right now. Sanctum Securum? No, that's not right. Whatever it is. The place where the time stone's held.
Yeah.
So they go back. They use the nano suits to then change their outfits to look like themselves from that time. But little differences because they're all aged.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony still has the lighter hair. So does Cap. Obviously, Hulk looks like more like Banner than his Hulk.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man's there, which he didn't.
He didn't change, but he shrunk down.
Yeah, and got on Tony, Tony's shoulder. So the whole thing is, Cap is going to go after the Loki Pokey Stick. Ant-Man and Iron Man are going to go after the Tesseract, and Hulk is going to go after the Time Stone.
Right.
So we see, Tony and Ant-Man first, right? Because they leave with some of them there. So they have the Tesseract getting in a box, and it's the last scene where they're talking to Loki, and they basically arrest him, and Thor clamps the thing on him. But then you see the scepter be put in a case and walked out with a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, which recognize as all Hydra agents, including Romloff, I can't think of the other one's names, but they're in there. That one brown-skinned guy who's like he's a higher-up agent in S.H.I.E.L.D., but not like anyone really high up. He's like a...
You're not like on the director level of anything, but he is pretty higher up.
Yeah. And so Tony tells Cap, hey, you're up, they're on their way, and he's going to be waiting for them to take the elevator, looking like the Cap does from that time. Tony and Scott have to then intercept the Tesseract downstairs when they're all walking out. And the whole plan is for them to basically short-circuit Tony's implant to give him a cardiac moment, and then Ant-Man will then kick the case out of the way, Tony can grab it, and they can be on their way. Well, the Hulk intervenes by accident because he had to take stairs and was very angry about it, and knocks down future Tony, who then drops the case, which then opens up, and the Tesseract is then grabbed by Loki, who then disappears. And so that's one that was not gonna, they're not going to get back.
Yeah.
Hulk, meantime, is going to the Sanctum, thinking he's going to run into Doctor Strange. Doesn't run into Doctor Strange. Instead runs into the Ancient One, Tilda Swinton's character, our next sort of cameo, I guess you'd say, who then explains, like, no, he's not here. He's not going to be here for, like, 5 years. But he is across, right across town doing surgery. And he's like, well, doesn't change things. I still need that stone. She's like, well, yeah, there's not a chance that's going to happen. And he, she does the whole, like, thing and hits him, the and astral projection. It, yeah. And you see Banner get separated from the body, and so he's the astral projection of Banner. They talk. He explains what's going on. She says that's impossible because if you take one of them out, you diverge the timeline, and you get this alternate history that can change things. And then he says, what if we bring them back to the exact moment we took them, diverging that path? She's like, yes, but
still not going to get
still not going to get stoned. Then he tells her, but why did
Strange
give the stone up to Thanos? And she goes, he did what? And he explains to her what happened. She goes, well, there must have been a reason why. She gives him the stone, yeah. And she puts him back in his body. And then so they meet up. They realize they have to get the Tesseract still. So Tony and Cap are kind of having an argument. Tony realizes something. They only have one chance to go. They only have enough to go back now. Mm-hmm. So why don't they do something else? Why don't they travel the other way back further to 1970 where they know one of two things they need will be there. Again, the Tesseract, because they know the Tesseract is being used at tested and things at an army base. I mean, he knows this because his dad was working on it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Hank Pym is there because he's still part of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's working on the Ant-Man project. Particle. So the Pym Particle is there. That means they can go there, get Pym Particles, and the Tesseract, and then meet everyone back at the time. Because again, to them, time doesn't move forward, so they can jump to the time they need to, right, then return everything else. So they, Cap and Tony go back to there. That's when the feels really start to kick in again, because you... Cap sees Peggy again.
Yep.
Tony runs into his dad. You get to see Jarvis on the original Jarvis, the butler.
Yeah.
Not the AI, because that's weird. Like, he's just numbers. Anyways, the original one that the AI is based on, who is Howard Stark's butler and driver. You get to see a cameo of Michael Douglas as Hank Pym, as a young Hank Pym with long hair and kind of an asshole-ishness. You get Stan Lee's final cameo in any of the Marvel movies, which is an amazing one. They de-age him, and he's driving a car, driving past the army base, and yells, "Make love, not war," which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. You then get to realize that it's the army base that created Cap, and so you get to see the bunker that was essentially where he... where everything kind of was went down when he was doing his training. And then you also get to realize that's the bunker that holds the computer that is essentially the brain trust to Hydra's whole plan, because it's the scientist from Captain America.
Yep.
And he's there, it's kind of like this circular kind of, like, you know, throwback to itself type of thing. So Tony gets the Tesseract. Cap gets the Pym particles. They jump back, and they join up everybody. The other team consists of Rocket, Thor, Nebula, Rhodey, Natasha, and Clint. And they're in the Benatar.
Yes.
They go back to 2014, where they know where two of the stones are. One being the Power Stone, which is on the planet that is featured in the beginning of Guardians 1. And the other one is the Soul Stone, which they now know where it's at because of the events of Infinity War.
Yep.
Is on the edge of reality, on this one planet that is basically outside of existence but inside of existence, which is a weird thing. So they... then split up. Thor and Rocket are then going to then go to Asgard, right? Because they have to go get
Thor and Rocket the ether. Go to Asgard. They have to go to the ether from because at the same time, this apparently takes place at the same time as when Jane is infected with the ether.
So they're going to go. They're going to go to Asgard, and during the events of Thor 2, the Dark World, and they're going to take the what does she have in her?
Wasn't the
Reality Stone? Reality Stone.
Yeah, because it was the red one.
Yeah, the Reality Stone. They're going to get that out of her, and that's how they're going to get it. So Thor's is another one with the feels, because he gets to see his mother, again played by Rene Russo, minutes before her death.
Yeah.
And he is a wreck because he's drunk, fat, very reminiscent of his father.
Yeah.
In crazy ways. Rocket says, we need to do this secretly, obviously. Thor's like, I can't do this. I can't go seduce Jane. Yeah. Look, you know, like this. So Rocket says, you have to. It's the only way to get this, get that. So Rocket starts to go, Thor disappears, runs into his mom, talks to her, has a very, very powerful conversation with her. Mm-hmm. He wants to tell her exactly what's going to go on. She's basically like, honey, I was raised by witches. I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Jesus. But one of the cool moments is he says, hold on. And he calls his hammer to him because at this point, hammer still exists.
Yeah.
So then he grabs the hammer. Rocket has to improvise, does a whole stabby, stabby, steal, steal, pulls the stone out of Jane, runs back. And then they escape.
Thor, yeah.
They go back, and that's the end of theirs. They can meet with everybody. At the same time, Nebula and Rhodey are on, I can't remember the name of the planet.
They're going after the power.
They're going after the Power Stone, the one that Quill got at the beginning of Guardians 1. They're going to be there as soon as Quill lands. They're going to knock him out and then go to the temple because they don't really know where it's at, and apparently he does. So they do. It's a really funny moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a very key moment in it that you have to pay attention to because it helps lead to certain things. But it's funny because you get the non-audio version of him singing.
Yes.
Which is hilarious because it's very awesome cinematically when you watch Guardians.
Yes.
Because you get to hear the audio that Quill is hearing in his headphones, but now you only get to hear him singing and dancing
and
without
awful.
The background music.
It's
and it
awful.
Is terrible. And Rhodey's like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Nebula's like, I don't know. So they go, they steal the Power Stone, but a signal is sent because her machinery is interacting weirdly with the past, and a projection of them is then produced by past Nebula in front of Thanos and Gamora, who then are like, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening? And his advisors are like, hey, like this is now,
mm-hmm.
now, not a memory. This is like happening now. And they're like, find this now. And so they go to head to, yeah, right?
I had a Spaceballs.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So they're basically going to go after future Nebula and get the Power Stone because the way they're talking is like, I've done it. I've done it. This is my destiny. I'm obviously do it. So I need to go there now. Essentially kind of changing the timeline in a way because now he's going directly after the Power Stone instead of sending Gamora to steal it after it is stolen from his troops anyways. Well, Ronan's troops anyways.
Right.
And so they go there. Nebula and Rhodey, who have the Power Stone, are about to... Oh, the thing I was talking about is very important to pay attention. When they go to get the Power Stone, when Quill got it, he used the mechanism to pull it out of the force field so he wouldn't get damaged. Well, Nebula, they don't have that. They could have easily taken off his body, but they didn't. She uses her mechanical hand, goes through the force field, very Terminator 2-ish, grabs it, pulls it out, it's melting. She hands it to him. He's like, Jesus, are you okay? She's like, yeah, it's fine. I've had worse.
Yeah.
Like, A, having your arm cut off. But it's very important to pay attention because the hand's wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're getting ready to go. right as they count down to synchronize to go back to the present, she starts to have a reaction, just like the other Nebula did. She doesn't get a chance to press her button. Rhodey does. Then they go and you jump to Natasha and
Barton.
Barton, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Thanos comes and they get you assume. Yeah, we don't get to see them get that, but she gets captured by Gamora and Thanos in future her. But anyways, we jump to Barton and Natasha on this planet again. I can't remember the name, where the Soul Stone is at, where Gamora at one point is sacrificed by Thanos to retrieve the stone. Mm-hmm. Well, when they make their way there, make a snide comment of we could have just gotten closer. And they meet Red Skull, who then tells them the same thing. The only way to get the Power Stone is to sacrifice something you love. Well, Barton literally has one thing and one thing only left in this world that he loves.
His family.
His family. And also Natasha. Mm-hmm. And he refuses to let her die because he's lost everything. He's done very bad things by killing hundreds of people in the last 5 years. He decides he's going to sacrifice himself. Well, she shocks him, and she's going to sacrifice herself because he has something to fight for, and she doesn't. So she's running. He goes and shoots an explosive arrow at the ground, knocks her out of the way, goes to run. She then tackles him off the cliff, which I was like, well, this is going to be weird.
Right.
But she attaches one of his grappling arrows to his belt and attaches it to the thing, and she starts to fall. He grabs her. Then she forcibly removes her hand from him, falling to her death, sacrificing herself. Then he wakes up in the water, very exactly similar to the way Thanos did after sacrificing Gamora. He sits up, opens his hand, has the Soul Stone in it. And of course, his story gets worse and worse because now his only friend in the world, real friend in the world, has just killed herself for the betterment of him.
Yeah.
Like, yes, everybody else, but definitely for him. So it's like even more sadness thrown on top of this already sad dude who's literally lost everything and has decided to just literally go after the worst people in the world until someone kills him.
Yeah.
And now he's in this. Now he has to fight for not only this, but in the memory of her because he knows that there's no going back.
Yeah.
So he travels back. We get to jump to current Nebula as a future Nebula, present Nebula, as a, we'll say, a guest of Thanos and past Nebula, and they basically formulates a plan to then use the disguise herself as future Nebula to go back and essentially prime the ability for Thanos to come into the future to basically fight them.
Yeah.
So she disguises herself, goes back, shows up at the exact same time as everybody else, like it should have been, disguised as Nebula. They're all good. They're like, we got all the stones. Some shit happened. Clearly, not all of us made it back because Natasha's not here. Then they move forward. They're working on that. Nebula then goes time to stand.
Yeah.
Me too. She then formulates a way to basically bring Thanos and what we don't know at the time, but Thanos to the present to confront them. They're going through. They build a new gauntlet using Tony's nano technology to mount all the stones in. They're trying to decide who's going to do it. Clearly, they're doing all these tests. They realize, oh, it's giving off radiation that's very similar to gamma radiation. Plus, we saw what happened to Thanos when he used it. Hulk's like, I'm the only person that could really do it.
Yeah.
So I will do it. So he gets ready to wear the gauntlet. It's destroying him right away. The power is just ripping his body apart. You can see it. So like, just, you know, he's like, no, don't stop. I'm going to do it. So he's like, they're like, okay, just remember, you're gonna bring everybody back that Thanos snapped out back to this time right now here. And he snaps his fingers and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
The stones definitely go off. And they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he gets burned.
He gets burned bad.
His body.
Especially his right arm. Mm-hmm. It is torched. So they get the gauntlet off of him. It's still on still.
It's still on.
They're like, did it work? What's happening? And all of a sudden, Hawkeye hears something, and it's his phone ring. He walks over, and it's his wife calling. So he picks it up and you realize, oh shit, it worked. Like, it worked, it worked.
Yeah.
Like, she's back. That means everybody's back. Then Nebula sets off the machine during this whole thing. Thanos' ship appears. The big ship. The big, big one that has all the little ships in it that hold all the troops and the donuts. It's there. And literally devastates.
Because it just starts shooting into the Avengers. Just starts
dropping missiles.
Much like, what was it, Iron Man 3? Where they just shoot into
Iron Man 3,
where they just shoot into his house and just completely obliterate it.
And so we think Ant-Man takes a missile to the face because we see him get blown up and get pushed back.
Dude, I thought, I was like, are they going to kill him?
I was like, they just killed him off. Like, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And the whole place gets devastated. A bunch of them fall through the ground. Some get thrown away from the blast. Thanos then comes down. Cap and Tony go out to see him first, right? Or is Thor there too?
Thor's there too.
Yeah, I think all three of them go out there, right?
All three of them go out there.
So they start doing battle with him, and then it cuts to Rocket.
You got Rocket, Professor, Rhodey, and Professor Hulk, because Professor Hulk is holding up the foundation so that
Rhodey can get Rocket
out, because Rocket's almost being crushed as it is.
So they get out. They're all trapped in there. They're calling for anybody who can help them. They realize the gauntlet's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkeye then wakes up, and he's in the way down catacombs of everything, and he's right next to the gauntlet. And he's like, yeah, guys, but the thing is, we're not alone.
Nope.
He's like, there's something else down here. He shoots an arrow, and he sees those crazy space monster things.
Was it the Chitauri? Like,
but the pre-version of them.
Yeah, it's a pre-version of them, because it's not the intelligent, which is the Chitauri. It's like the pre-non-intelligent.
The animal, animalistic ones. And they're running through this drainage pipe thing at him. He's fighting them off, running with the gauntlet. Ant-Man then calls. He hears the calls. I'm on my way. He had shrunk down from the blast. He is going in Ant-Man style through the running water, and he bounces off an eraser off a pencil, goes down there, grabs Professor Hulk, Rhodey, and Rocket, and then grows bigger, coming out of as Giant Man holding them, lets them down. Hawkeye then escapes out of at least where he was at, and then Thanos is in a battle with the three of them, calls out his army, and during this time, so you can see all the ships landing, troops coming, getting ready to come out of everything. Cap and Thor, after Tony gets fucking like straight punched, like damn near out of existence. He just gets punched so hard. Because Thanos is like, I'm not having this. Like, I can't. You keep shooting me with these things, and I don't like it. So he's then fighting Thor and Cap. Cap gets kicked fucking like 3 football fields away, it seems. So Thor's going ham with both the hammer and the axe. Thanos is blocking everything. He's getting a couple good blows in, but not enough. He gets hit. The hammer goes flying. He goes into a rock. Thanos is standing over him. The axe is gone. He's about to strike, and all of a sudden he gets hit in the back by something, and it goes, and Cap had picked up the hammer.
Yeah.
And is going to town, and he is beating Thanos' ass. He's comboing with the shield and the hammer, bouncing the shield off of him, bouncing the hammer off him. At one point, he spins it and flies at Thanos. Then he calls lightning up and blows up the ground below him. It is fantastic to watch.
Seriously.
And one of the best lines, as soon as he picks it up, because what I say, the shield bounces off Thanos' back. He turns just in time to see Cap pick the hammer up. That's when it happens. And Thor goes, I knew it! Which is a callback to Age of Ultron when the hammer started to move when Cap was trying to get it, but it didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then you realize that Cap is apparently now worthy enough. He not only picks the hammer up, starts using it, but can command lightning, which is fucking fantastic to watch.
Yeah.
He starts going ham on him. Thor picks up Stormbringer. They are definitely pounding Thanos' ass. He gets angry. He starts beating him up. Then his army gets there, and they're all kind of standing there, and all of a sudden, portal opens up.
Yeah.
And there's Doctor Strange. And you're like, oh shit.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Strange. No, it was Black Panther first, right? Yeah. So Black Panther, the portal opens up. Black Panther, Okoye, and his sister, who's Shiri, come walking through, and then the camera pans in, and you can see through the portal into Wakanda, and there's just thousands of people, thousands of soldiers coming through, and all these portals start opening up, and Doctor Strange comes in, and a bunch of the other sorcerers come through. Howard the Duck shows up,
which I didn't see.
Is amazing. Comes walking through with a fucking with a laser blaster. Another portal opens up with where Strange was at, or where Strange is at the portal, and the Guardians come through.
Yeah.
You see Drax. You see Groot, Mantis
and Mantis
Groot
and Strange
and Strange on there. And Quill come in, and then Quill. You hear the Thwick, and Spider-Man swings in and comes in and goes over to Tony, and he's like, "You'll never believe what happened." Like,
yeah.
It was like I was there and then I wasn't there, and then you were there and you weren't there, and then Tony hugs him, and I was like, just thinking about it right now, I have tears. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, it's such a fucking moment. And Peter's like, "We're doing this, we're doing this." Yeah. And he's hugging him. It's so amazing. So then Thanos' army is up on the ridge, just thousands of fucking, you got the flying crazy space worms, you got these crazy war elephants, these weird giants. The Black Order is back, still alive because they're there. And then you see, through another portal, Valkyrie and the rest of the Asgardian fighters come through, and she's on a Pegasus, and they're all standing there. And finally, you get the two words that everyone is waiting for Cap to say for 11 years.
Right.
He finally says it while wielding a battered shield and the fucking hammer, and he says, "Avengers Assemble."
Yep.
And fucking madness just swoops through. Everybody who is anybody and in these movies is now fighting. Like, just the two armies collide. You see Iron Man shooting people. You see Pepper Potts, as Rescue, as she's known, coming through in her suit. Valkyrie's cutting motherfuckers up. Ant-Man's punching space worms out of the sky. Black Panther's punching people with purple goodness. Shuri's shooting people with little gauntlets. Nakoya's just stabbing everything in sight. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, Quill's running around shooting people. Drax is stabbing motherfuckers. Mantis is putting motherfuckers to sleep. You see, I mean, Spider-Man's throwing motherfuckers. He goes. Then the gauntlet gets brought out by Barton.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey,
what do I do with this?
What do I do with this?" Cap's like, "Get it to the van. We need to get it out of here."
Yeah.
So they make the plan, but the van is damaged. So Scott and Hope go to go over there and fix it. They're like, "We're getting it going. We have to hot wire it. It's not working. We'll get it going." And they start fighting, going through. The gauntlet gets passed to Spider-Man,
it got passed to a couple people for
it. First, it was Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther.
And Spider-Man gets it. He goes into full kill mode. It's dope.
Yeah, right.
Starts murdering the fucking aliens.
He's holding onto it, and he's like, kill mode.
Yep, and it just starts stabbing motherfuckers, shooting lasers.
Yeah.
Explosive webs, everything. He's going. He gets taken down. He's pretty battered. His suit's all beat up. Captain Marvel answers, "Hey, kid, you need a hand." Oh, I'm sorry. No, her entrance first. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they haven't gotten to her entrance
first.
Because right at that point, Scarlet Witch
is. She shows up.
Shows up and goes right for Thanos.
Yeah, dude.
Lifts him up and basically starts slowly tearing him apart. Just the armor coming off and whatnot. And he eventually is like, "Yo, just start shooting the cannons at the ground."
Yep. Just bombard him.
Bombard everything. And so it's just boom, 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 boom. He didn't care if it was his soldiers or their soldiers, whatever. Things just hitting the ground. He finally gets loose. But then after a couple of minutes of that...
Well, that's when Spidey gets knocked down.
Knocked down, and you're like, "Oh, shit, this is about to end." But then suddenly the cannons go quiet, and they lift up into the air, and they start shooting at something into the air.
And then you see a burning streak coming through, shoots through the ship, and starts destroying it. Just blowing it up. And it's crashing, and you realize it's Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
She's back, and she's fucking angry.
Yeah.
So she then lands, starts beating the shit out of Thanos, and they're like, "We need to get this gauntlet gone."
Mm-hmm.
So then she flies over to a a battered Peter says, "Hey, do you need a hand?" And she's like, "Yeah, do you need backup?" And he's like trying to stand up and he falls down. She's like, "No, I'm good." And then Pepper, Valkyrie, Akoya, and all the other ladies show up and like, "No, she's got backup." And it's an homage to the A-Team, which is an all-female Avengers team. They start wrecking shop, not knowing exactly what she can do.
Yeah.
She just then burns through the army right to the van. Thanos then blows up the van right as she gets there. It blast goes off. She goes flying. The gauntlet goes flying. Cap's fighting off of him. Thor's fighting him. He gets it. Cap is... I don't think he was ever holding. He was right there. Thanos eventually gets it. They're fighting with him.
Yeah.
He puts it on. He's fighting with Tony with the gauntlet. For the gauntlet, he basically knocks Tony down again. He puts it on, goes to snap, and nothing happens.
Well, he had a little bit more of a fight with Captain
Marvel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Captain Marvel, yeah, starts beating almost his ass. Almost
like bends his fucking hand backwards before he finally gets the.
She breaks the sword thing, right?
She breaks the sword thing, but he pulls the Power Stone off and then hits her with it.
Yeah.
Puts it back on. That's when he's about to do it, and then Tony comes in, grabs him. They do a little tussle. He throws Tony off to the side again, and then he goes just see it, and he goes snap, and nothing. And he just flips his hand around, and you realize that
the stones are all gone. So fucking cool.
Right?
Then he looks over at Tony, and Tony turns his hand around, and as he does it, his hand turns into a mini gauntlet, and the stones are raised into place over his knuckles and over his palm. And he goes, "I am Iron Man," and then snaps his fingers, and the whole fucking army just starts to dust.
Yeah.
Everything's going. He's watching all his men go, all his everything go. And then he sits down and he's like, "Jesus Christ, I fucking lost to these people." Like, he doesn't say anything, but you can see it in his eyes.
Yeah.
Then you start to see, I'm thinking, did he not dust him? Like, right. They're going to kill him or whatever? Like, let him suffer? And then you can see his armor start to go, and then he slowly and then dusts.
Mm-hmm.
And they run over to Tony, and Tony is fucked.
Seriously.
Half his body's burnt. He's pale as shit. They realize he's not going to make it.
Yeah.
And so everyone kind of has their goodbyes. He dies.
Yep.
Which is fucking devastating. Cut to the saddest thing ever.
The memorial service.
The memorial service at the lake house on the lake where they sent out a wreath of flowers with the original arc reactor.
Yeah, proof that Tony proof has that, a,
yep, the thing that Pepper made him. And everybody who's everybody essentially is there.
Mm-hmm.
You have obviously Pepper's there with their daughter Morgan, with Happy. You see Black Panther, Akoya, and Shuri are there. Cap is there. Hawkeye's there with his family. Scott is there with Hope Hank
and Hank,
yeah. Janet, Hope, his daughter. You see the Guardians. You see a young teenager,
yep,
who is a mystery to a lot of people.
Yeah,
you see Thunderbolt Ross.
Yep,
you see Captain Marvel,
and then
you see Maria Hill, and then you see coming off of from the porch out of frame is Nick Fury.
Yep.
So the teenager, for the folks who have seen it and don't know who it is, that is Harley. He is the young man that befriended Tony in Iron Man 3. That essentially led to him realizing he's the smartest man on the planet and he doesn't need a suit to be Iron Man. But he fosters him. He sends him all that lab equipment. He gives him the potato cannon 2.0 and has essentially been in contact with him the entire time and has nurtured him as into young adulthood. But again, this is 8 years? No, 9 years after? Because 5 year jump forward, it was 3 years before, so about 8 years or so.
Yeah.
He is now a young man, an essentially almost an adult, really, but that is Harley, that is the little boy, so if you don't know who that was. And then it goes to a moment on the... Is the cat moment first, or is the happy moment first?
The happy moment.
Happy moment first, right? Happy is sitting on the porch of the lake house with Morgan, Tony Stark's daughter, and he says to her, "Are you hungry?"
Mm-hmm.
And she says, Yes. And he says, what do you want to get? She says, cheeseburgers. And he says, your dad also loved cheeseburgers. Fucking heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Just like, Jesus Christ. Then it cuts to Cap, Bucky, Sam, and Professor Hulk all standing around a miniature version of the quantum portal. And they're saying, they give him his case. He has the shield, and he has, I'm sorry, no, he has the hammer, he has the case. And they say, you have to put the stones back exactly where you got them. And then they send him back, and they're like, hey, how long will it take? Let's take, for him, as long as it takes, for us, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or minutes. So they're waiting, he's supposed to come back, and he never does. And Hulk's like, I don't get it. Mm. I don't know what's happening. And they're like, get him back, do whatever you want. And then Bucky turns, and he sees something. He goes, guys. And they all turn. They see this man sitting on a park bench and overlooking the lake. And you slowly realize, oh, shit. That's Cap.
Yep.
So Sam walks over. It's old man Chris Evans who is sitting there. And he tells him, like, don't worry. Everything's fine. I got the stones back. But I'm here. And you look down. And he has a wedding ring on. And he's like, are you going to tell me about her? He's like, nope, I don't think I will.
Nope.
And then he goes, I have something for you. And he pulls over this big leather case, unzips it, and it's the shield. He hands it to Sam, and Sam's like, really? He's like, try it on. So he tries it on. And then it cuts to the last scene, which is the street front in front of a house. The camera pans into a window. You hear music. And it's the music that was supposed to be playing when Peggy and Steve were supposed to have their dance, and then you see Peggy and Steve dancing. Boom, credits.
Yep.
And you realize that he went back and lived his life with Peggy.
Yep.
And was happy.
Yep.
Because everyone said to get, tell him to get a life.
Yep.
He finally got one of those things that Tony was telling him to get. So, boom, that's... there's some stuff we missed in there, but that's so fine. You can see it for yourself. It's 3 hours, and we just talked about it for...
An hour,
so...
Condensed.
Condensed, yeah. It's 3 hours and 58 seconds, so you can see we missed some stuff. So, real quick, we're going to do... We'll just do 3 and 1, because we ran out of time. Unless you want to do more.
No. Honestly, like, you want to ask me, like, my three favorite things, and the one thing I was surprised about, it's so hard to...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
...to condense a lot of things into this one, so it's going to be more of a generic thing. The end battle scene was not only visually amazing, I know we saw it in 3D separately, but we saw it in 3D as well, each of us did. Absolutely amazing to watch in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
The visuals, amazing. So good. The sound, all the action going on. Like you said, when you were explaining it, you finally got the Avengers Assemble.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, it gave me goosebumps.
I was rock hard.
Just seriously, you finally, after 11 or so years of all of this culminating into this one
and fight, one tease scene from the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, was absolutely fucking amazing. The number two thing is I absolutely love the humor in this movie.
Yes,
like, it had,
so good.
It was so good. Like, all the characters, every scene that they were in, it felt like their movie.
Yep,
that's how they were written. You know,
and even the fact that they were. The teams they were in with weren't the teams they're normally with.
Right.
But it felt so natural for those characters to be that way with each other.
And I walked away from this movie wanting Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 even more now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because of having...
As
Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, my God. I couldn't stop laughing with the whole who's the boss?
Who's the
captain
God
of this
damn
ship?
It.
You know, you have Quill flipping the map one way and Thor flipping it the other, and they're having this fun conversation back and forth between them. Then who says, this isn't a knife fight or something, or like, I have knives or something like that, and Rocket's like, I'd like to see a knife fight.
And then Mantis is like, yeah, I want to see a knife fight. I was like, Jesus
Christ, Mantis, calm down.
Yeah, I was like,
down.
Good Lord. And then Thor says, no, we know who's in charge. And then Quill's like, do we? Yeah, it was really funny.
I'm the captain, yeah.
Yeah, it was really funny. I love that scene.
But you get the setup for their third movie, which is going to be them in search of Gamora. I mean, obviously, you have him. Quill's literally sitting in front of a screen that has a picture of Gamora, and it just says searching.
Yep.
Duh, that's what's going to be Volume 3.
Which we would have thought would have been that way anyways. We didn't know it was going to include Thor.
Right. And well, it's just a bonus, and it's awesome.
Yeah. I was talking about this at work with somebody, with Anthony, I think it was. Did James know? He wrote this script. So these two scripts for Infinity War and Endgame were written before he wrote Volume 3.
Uh-huh.
Before he got fired, before that. He'd finished the script. He must have known, right? He
must have known.
I mean, did they tell him, oh, at this point, Gamora's dead or miss or gone?
I wouldn't doubt it.
And this was, and but Thor's going to be in your movie.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Because it's like, if not, is he not going to be? Because like he leaves with them.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
you could easily lose Thor in a, just a, oh, he went off to do blah, blah, blah
yeah.
type of thing. But if he stays there, it would be even more awesome.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There. And I hope that he does stay there.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, James Gunn had to have known the events, or at least the fallout of his character.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
From this movie,
because I mean, obviously, you can't just
just make Volume 3. Well, like what I get, what I if we had would have time later to get into, like, you know, what happens to Doctor Strange and the Time Stone?
Because
in theory, the Time Stone is now doesn't exist in this time period. So if they come out with a Doctor Strange 2 and he suddenly has the Time Stone. What the fuck? You shouldn't have that type of thing. It's a plot hole. My next thing that I really loved about this movie is, I don't know, it was so hard to just come up with those two, honestly.
Oh yeah, because
there's so much. There's so much more that you that you love.
Surprised
about this movie.
By
the thing I was surprised by. You know, I don't think there was a whole lot of things to be actually surprised by going down and sitting in this movie. I know going into it, we had thought that at least one of the people, either Captain America or Tony Stark, were going to die.
Yeah.
I was leaning more towards Captain America because in the books, he's more of the person that would have died. At least him passing down his mantle like that would have made sense. Tony, not so much. But then I had that ruined by fucking Apple News, who literally stated that Captain America survives and that Tony dies. Fucking.
This is why you shouldn't get on the internet until you see the movie. That's what I did.
Well, and every other thing, every other place that I went to was literally like, hey, man, we're going to spoil this.
And you're like,
don't.
Nope.
That was in the headline. Like, we're going to spoil this.
Like,
don't
swipe
don't
left.
Read anything. And it's like, cool, I'm not going to read anything. But literally, Apple News, you pull it up and it was like a big giant fucking banner. What Starks are dead? And it's like, Tony, Sansa, Stark's tombstone. And I'm like, just fucking
assholes.
Like, I just watched Game of Thrones. I know none of them died. So fuck yourself.
Yep.
So no, there was really nothing that to be surprised about. Well, I should say I was surprised where they started, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I assume that they would have started 5 years in the future.
That time jump would have already happened.
That time jump would have already happened, but literally they start 5 minutes in the future.
Yeah, it's like literally from the boop, right there.
And so that was a little bit jarring for me. Like, sitting through that, it was like, huh? Like, it didn't feel right, because it felt like it should have been, they should have started further in the future.
Yep.
But
then you have a 3-hour and 58-second movie.
But then
movie,
you have a 3-hour
so
50, yeah.
A lot of things happened.
Yeah.
And we didn't even cover half of them.
God, no.
Skip so much stuff.
Seriously. But yeah, that was my three things and one surprise.
So if you couldn't tell, I really like this movie a lot. The first thing I loved was the characters and the development you get to see them have gone through, the ones that were still currently not dust. I also love the interaction between all the characters, because majority of them never really interact with each other,
mm-hmm.
other than maybe punching each other in the face or throwing gasoline trucks at each other. Ant-Man and War Machine.
Yeah.
I think he's still a little bitter about that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a water truck. The third thing I really liked was I really liked the way what they did with the story, the way they kind of made you think one thing and then just went, nah. We gonna do this.
Right.
Because I really, like you said earlier, first 15 minutes, they kill Thanos. And I was like, well,
what do we do from here?
That was simple.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Huh?
Yeah, but he still destroyed the stones.
Yeah, so. Like, so we lose?
Lose in roll credits?
It seemed like a quick 3 hours.
There is no Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, Mike was right, and it was all a lie. Literally, the next 2 hours and 48 minutes is just like...
just credits?
Yeah, this is all people made every movie possible. Yeah. They're like, why does it say Gone with the Wind? Oh, you motherfuckers. So... I like that a lot. The thing I was surprised by was actually the final battle is what I was surprised by. I knew there was going to be a big battle. I just didn't know it was going to be everybody and everybody and everybody. I
assumed it would be that.
I thought it was going to be the group of, like, just the main group of them fighting. You know, mm-hmm. him and the Black Order, you know, kind of like it was in Infinity War, but, like, just all of them together finally. But when it was a mass army against a mass army of literally everybody, I was like, yeah, I'm so happy with what happens. And everybody got their moment. Mm-hmm. Everybody had their thing. You get to see Drax cutting motherfuckers. You see, like I said, you see everybody has everything. And it's just this amazing culmination of everything we've seen up until this point and then all of it together. And it was just amazing to watch. And yes. The fact that it wasn't quick. It wasn't a fast battle.
God, no.
Because everything, like... The two main battles in Infinity War were very short,
yeah,
and very one-sided. Mm-hmm. This was not so. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then just massive fucking madness, just pure chaos, things and people going everywhere. Giant things dying, little things dying, middle-sized things getting crushed by giant things, people shooting the past selves, Quill getting kneed in the balls. I mean, everything was...
You missed the first time, but then you got both the second time.
Yeah, it's just... It was amazing. Every little bit, like Joe said, every bit you see with the characters felt like something from their movie, which is just goes the fact that these two writers are fantastic. But also the Russo brothers know how to lovingly take care of all these characters they get to play with in the giant sandbox.
Yeah.
Or dust box. Am I right?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I'll give it to you.
So anyways, that's essentially our spoil-filled review. Literally review of the movie. Not like, oh, we're going to review it movie. No, I was like, literally reviewed what happened in the movie.
Yep.
But since we've taken...
An hour and a half.
I think we will skip over Game of Thrones for this week.
I'm sure there'll be more next week.
Oh, I'm sure. Because Mike's not even here to talk about his thoughts, but we won't ask him about that. We'll just talk about Game of Thrones in front of him.
Right.
That's what happens when you're not here. Anyhow, that's it for this week's episode. The producer is giving us the, hey, get the fuck out of my studio. That's what that means. Middle finger and an arrow and a pointing to the door. Anyhow, that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Again, that space is Mike. I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.